Am I lit up? I'm ready to go. Standing here under the spotlight like this, we should have given you guys all sunglasses so you could see the radiation coming out. You know, it's one of the things I say, I have been blessed because I get to radiate the love of Christ a lot more than a lot of you with hair do. You know, as Chris said, give Chris that mic and let him have some fun up here on the stage, right? Isn't he just kind of a natural on the stage with that thing? You get to share the next message, Chris Meyer. You know, it's funny because, as he said, I'm the third string player here today. So don't expect a lot, okay? So those of you that are here for the first time, don't leave because of me, please. How many snowbirds do we have out here? Yeah, look at all that. I almost need to get a cap so I can see myself here. You know, it's when we got down and it's kind of getting that situation where Pastor Rob's gone, we knew that. Pastor Dominic was set to do the sermon for us, and then, of course, he gets the flu bug, and we're going, all right, Satan's chopped him down, getting him out of here. Now it's my turn? So I'm going, am I up to this? I don't know, Lord. You really need to speak to me and give me the message you want me to give. And so talking this morning, Pastor Rob, Gary, how you feeling? I went, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death because I've been called to deliver God's word to these people and try to honor God as I do that. That's a scary, scary thought. And Rob said, and most of you don't know this, but he says, that's why people don't understand when I tell them that I am nervous every Sunday. You know, you're talking to a man that's been pastor for years and years. And yeah, because of, it's a big thing when you are called to stand up here and share this word and deliver it in a manner that honors God and something that he wants us to share with you to receive. So the message he asked me to deliver today is one that's challenging for churches because, money. Did I hear somebody say money? It's challenging for people in churches because people sitting in churches don't like to hear churches talk about money. But guess what? Money is extremely important to God, and he knows how important it is to people. Do you know that he has 5 times more scripture verses in the Bible that talk about money than talk about prayer? That's a lot of focus on money. So God has called us as churches not to be shy about talking about money, because in case you don't know it, it takes money to run God's business. And without money to support his ministries and to do his work, and I'm not talking about just building churches and buildings, we're talking about ministries that go outside these walls and save people. That's what God's work is about, and that's when he's saying, you as a church need to talk about money, and you need to encourage people to understand what I would like from them in helping me build my kingdom. I've got a couple scripture verses that I want to share. So if you don't like what I say today about money, I'm reading God's word, okay? You take it up with God. So if you got a Bible in front of you, I'd ask you to grab it, pull it out, and we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and in your pew Bible, that is located on page 937. So a little assistance there, 937 in the pew Bibles. So before we do this, let me just open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we want to say thank you for bringing each and every one of us inside this sanctuary today. You have called us in some way or another, wherever we are in our lives, and we are all in different places in our lives out there, Lord. We're in different places in our work environment, family. We're in different places in our spiritual relationship with you, and some may not even have a relationship with you, Lord. But you have brought us here today, and we thank you with all of our heart that you've done so. And we pray today, Lord, that the message that's delivered out of your word that you are working through me, Father. I pray that you speak through me, give me a passion and a compassion to share your word in a way that really speaks to the people that are inside this building today, Lord. Speak to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open up their hearts to receive your word and then apply it in their lives and let them go beyond here, Father, and do your work to build your kingdom. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So when he's talking about building the house, in Haggai, that's the title on that, is a call to build the house of the Lord. So we'll start with verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and that I might be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. So what's God saying to us there? He's saying, hey, people, I love you all, but I know that you're all focused in your own life and business and everything else, but you're taking care of your own home, but do you realize that I need your help? I have a home, too, that I need you to come and help support. He's going, do you know the needs of my church? Do you know what's going on in my church family, or are you solely focused at home? So he's telling us to open up our eyes, and he's telling us to come out of our own self world that we're in and look at the big picture of what he's got going on around us. And we're talking about his temple, his church, his home. As Chris said, the church is not this building. The church is us, you, me, us people are the church, and we need to come together to reach outside these walls. You're in here because God has called you. Some of you are in a deep relationship with Jesus. Some of you are you're learning about Jesus. Some of you don't yet know Jesus. But guess what? He's got a lot. I mean, for us, the greatest gift we're going to be talking about later, but he wants us to be part of that plan. So I want you to flip ahead just a few pages, and we're going to go into Malachi 3, and that's on page 950, just a couple books ahead. So we're going to go to Malachi 3, 6 through 11. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. That right there is a huge statement, people. You'll find, if you read through the Bible, you'll see so many times it says, do not test the Lord. You're making a big mistake if you think you want to test the Lord. But right here, God says, you test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests. Totally opposite now what he said back there before when he was withholding and creating a drought on everybody's work of their hands, business, etc. Here he says, if you come forward and bring the whole tithe, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I want to reread that same passage in the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in his Bible called The Message. He says, I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed, and because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. You have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Return to me so I can return to you, says the God of the angel armies. You ask, but how do we return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers. The message of the God of the angel armies. You'll be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the angel armies says so. Pretty cool way to paraphrase that, isn't it? You know, and Haggai said it twice in there. Give careful thought to your ways. Now, this isn't just about money. You know, first of all, if you don't know what the tithe is the first fruits of your income, time, and talent. It's 10% is what God established as a tithe. You know, and it's kind of funny. And he says, bring the whole tithe. He's going, I don't want leftovers. So after you paid all your bills and done all this kind of stuff, I don't want the remaining crumbs that are left. I want you to give to me first. Out of your honor, love, and respect for me. I think I deserve that. Don't you? So the question is, you know, especially when you look at it and you're going, what does God give us? He only created us. He only gives us everything we have in life. He only gives us the air we're breathing right now. Okay, he doesn't give us much. How much does the government want of your paycheck? Well, a lot, 25 to 35%. And what do you get for that? I don't want to say. God says 10%. So it's really not about just the money. It's really about a matter of the heart. It's really about your relationship with God. He knows that this world worships money. Money is a god. You know, it's funny because when I thought about the tithe in my early Christian years, now, I've been here for almost 35 years now. Thank you, Jesus. And like Chris, I mean, I didn't necessarily find Jesus while I was here. I knew about him, but in my time here, I really got to know Jesus, and I got to have that where I'm at today and have the greatest relationship in my life. The deepest love you could ever ask for is coming from there. So when I speak to you about this, I'm speaking from the heart because it does mean a lot to me. So, you know, again, it's not about the money. It's about the relationship, condition of your heart. So what I want to do is I want to be your doctor. But we're going to do a physical exam here, and we're going to do a little heart check. So let's get your heart monitors on, people. So I want you to be perfectly honest with yourself, and I want you to truthfully answer the following questions. One, do I really know God, or do I just know about God? Two, do I really know Jesus, or do I just know about Jesus? Three, do I really know how much they love me? You see, you could read the Bible once, twice, three times. You could read the Bible over and over. You know all the stories. You know all the awesome things that God's done. You know what a badass he can be in the Old Testament days. You don't want to mess with that guy. He is one cool dude, though, but he loves us so much that what? He gave us his son Jesus. So if you answered yes to those questions, that you really know God, you really love God, you really know Jesus, my question to you is, ask yourself this. Do I really love God? Do I truly love Jesus? Do I trust them? Does my life show that love, that I do love them and I do trust them? If it does, people, when we're talking about a tithe, that shows whether you really do love them or trust them. If you love me, you will obey my commands. God makes it very clear. And he's talking about something as simple as a tithe. Simple as, I mean, how easy is that? It's tough. I know, it's tough. But he's talking about not 2%, not 3%. He's talking about 10%. So ask yourself, how much do I really love those guys? Look what they've done for me. Am I willing to give back to them? If you don't like the message that I'm preaching here today, then you need to ask yourself, how much do I really love those guys? How much have they done for me? If you're new here today, let me share this with you. They've given their all for you. God's love for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Not just here, forever. That is a gift, people. That is a gift. How much does Jesus love us? He's the man that went to the cross, man that led a blameless life, sin-free, greatest man out there. But he knew we had a problem, that we weren't good enough to get into God's kingdom. And he was the one that went open arms and took our punishment for us. Why? So we could be with him and his Father forever in heaven. That is a pretty cool gift. And we still struggle to give 10%. Go figure. So, how many of you have seen the movie Passion of Christ? Quite a bunch. If If you have not seen that movie, Easter is just around the corner, next month. Mel Gibson did that movie, and of course, Mel Gibson's had enough crazy issues of his own. But this movie is tremendous. I mean, I ask everybody to watch. I think we should all watch it every Easter, because it gives you such a great visual, graphic illustration of the torture that Jesus went through when they were lashing him, whipping him with thorn of crowns. I mean, flesh ripping out of his back. When you're watching those whips with the hooks in them, ripping the flesh out of his back before he's going there and taking that cross. That's brutal, tough. When I come to this rail, I look at that, and I can't help but be on my knees and be so humbled and so blessed and thankful that I have been given that gift that he's given all of us. So today, we get to have the blessing of coming to the rail. And it's special that we have that, because it's, again, it's a time when we're looking at us giving to God, to Jesus, and their kingdom and their work, and coming to this rail. I want you to be honest with yourselves before you come here when you answer those questions that I gave to you. And if you know that you're struggling in an area of any of that, about your relationship with Jesus, if you want to have a better relationship with Jesus, if you want to know Jesus, come to this rail and meet Jesus, because at this rail, we get to have the gift that he's given us, which is his body and his blood, to give us that gift of an eternal life with him, free us from everything, all of our sin we've had from this moment behind us is all washed clean when you kneel at this rail. You've got a clean slate before God. Anything that you have ever done that God has just frowned upon and even probably said a little more than that is set free when you come and partake in his body and his blood. So we are going to enter in to this time of communion.